Returning to the standoff between Russia and Ukraine and the political strength that has allowed Vladimir Putin to act apparently with impunity in sending troops into Crimea. The Russian president just seems to keep consolidating his power abroad, particularly after he effectively outmaneuvered Barack Obama over Syria. But he's also almost totally impregnable at home, due in part to the ruthlessness of his treatment of any opposition. Mark Bennett is the Moscow-based author of Kicking the Kremlin, an account of how opponents from politicians to Pussy Riot have tried to stand up against the former KGB man in Russia's top job. I asked Mark Bennett if there was any credible opposition left standing.
Now there isn't, no. So it's been crushed. Putin's clever. I mean, a very sharp analyst here described it as selective repression. So they, like, pick people off, basically. And when there was a very big rally on the eve of Putin's inauguration for a controversial third presidential term in May 2012, and the rally kind of descended into clashes. It's kind of hard to call it violence now in the face of what's happened in Ukraine. Well, like clashes between police, but nothing major, the kind of thing you'd see like a football or soccer match, you know, like after a game. And that was labeled mass disorder, and lots of people were just given like two, three, four-year sentences for that. So, like, the opposition's demoralized. They realized that they blew their chance in 2011, 2012, of basically being too weak, really. I mean, like, they didn't show any commitment. Whereas, I mean, in Ukraine, the people who came out, at least they were committed. Whereas in Russia, they never really reached that kind of level of commitment, because the opposition in Russia, it's only based in Moscow, really. I mean, there's a lot of discontent around Russia, like a hell of a lot of discontent, but there's also a lot of distrust of the opposition leaders.
And what about the media? Is there anything like an independent media left, or has that effectively been repressed as well?
Well, firstly, national television is 100% under the Kremlin control, like 100%. They have some really quite vicious propaganda going on, smear campaigns, for example. The internet is completely free. But a lot of these opposition blogs, as you imagine, they're just preaching to the converted, really. I mean, you're not going to open Alexei Navalny's blog unless you, like, sympathize with Alexei Navalny, you know. Free media, it's up until a few months ago, even now, I mean, the Kremlin has never been that particularly interested in censoring print media. I mean, it's quite easy to go into a supermarket and pick up, like, a glossy magazine, opposition-friendly glossy magazine, which will tell you, like, terrible things about Putin. But there seems to be some moves to even crack down on print media now, especially given what's going on in Ukraine. And especially if, like, young Russian kids start coming home in body bags, I think the opposition to the war is going to rise quite quickly, because, I mean, they're fighting a fellow Slavic nation. I mean, it's like, I don't know, for England, it would be like, for example, England fighting Scotland, you know, England fighting Ireland, or for your case, I guess, Australia fighting New Zealand. I mean, it's a ridiculous situation, you know. They're neighboring countries, friendly countries, where there's lots of intermarriage and everything. Also, state news agency, RIA Novosti, well, it's been taken over by a very anti-Western, very pro-Putin TV presenter who said that the job of state media in Russia is to create values and love Russia and not to be objective.
You were talking about the fact that these are really sister countries, Russia and Ukraine. How will that pan out?
As I said, once the body bags start coming home, I wouldn't like to wager a guess what's going to happen. I mean, some people are saying if there really is going to be a war between Russia and Ukraine, and some political analysts are saying it's the end of Putin. You know, like he's taken a step too far, and it will just the start of a slippery slope to his demise. Because, I mean, it's a massive step. But that's, as I said, is if large-scale conflict comes starts happening there. And as again, if it does, I mean, the church might be forced to say something, the Russian Orthodox Church, you know, because they can't really be seen to be backing the slaughter of fellow Slav.
There's one school of thought that says that Putin's been like a chess grandmaster and he's outplayed everybody from President Obama down. Another school that suggests that he's overreached and maybe just at the edge of crashing down himself. What do you think?
Well, I think he's kind of supremely confident right now after his diplomatic success over Syria last year, when he prevented American military intervention, and then after the Sochi Games, which, despite all the predictions of doom and disaster, turned out quite well for Putin. Yeah, maybe he's overconfident, and that's maybe why he's decided to go on this military adventure in Ukraine. But yes, again, and like, they haven't started fighting there yet. You know, I mean, there's always, I don't think we should rule out the possibility that it's all just going to blow over. But, I mean, From where we are now and to a full-blown war between Russia and Ukraine, that's quite a large step to take.
Mark Bennett, author of Kicking the Kremlin.